So today is the last Sunday of the church's liturgical calendar. I mean, we know the calendar that goes from January to December, right? That's what we follow. But in the church, everything begins and ends with Jesus. And so, actually, next Sunday, which is the first Sunday of Advent, that will be the beginning of our liturgical calendar. And it's not Christmas that's the beginning. It's actually Advent, because we will prepare our hearts to celebrate Christ. And in terms of preparation for the Advent season, you know how we have those wreaths, the wreath that we light a candle each of the 4 weeks. Speaking of that, I still need some people. If you're willing to light up a candle, let me know. But today we've read about Jesus telling us about the final judgment. When he comes again at the end, what's going to happen? You know, separating the sheep from the goats. And so when we think about this, I think we have to take it seriously, because Jesus came for a purpose. And his purpose as our king, as the one in charge, was to take care of us. Because we are like lost sheep. And if you're not sure, if you don't think you're lost, all that I would say is just look outside the world. What happens when we're in charge, right? What happens when we have earthly kings and rulers that we follow that make decisions based on their understanding? Well, we have wars. We have problems. We have violence. You just need to turn on the news. But in spite of that, we gather here today because there is good news. Because the king that we believe in, the king that we trust in, promises us a place in his kingdom that is just perfect, where there's no one who's hungry, where there's no one who's thirsty or mourning or crying, and no more death. These old things that are in this earth, they will pass away, and there will be a new reign as it was meant to be before we messed it up with our sin. Now, as we consider this king that we serve, this reign to come, I think we need to understand what it means to be a part of that kingdom. What are the rules of that kingdom? For here's the thing. You and I can't enter into the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, if we're not going to be subject to God. If we're really not going to look at it as our Lord and our Savior, then we can't enter into the kingdom. And so this time on earth, my friends, is a time of preparation. It's a time of trying to understand all these things that our Lord teaches us. That's why Bible study is so important. Because, you know, this hour that we have on Sunday is not enough, my friends. There's truths to the kingdom that are too huge for us to understand. Even our whole lifetime is not enough to fully understand. And so today, as we gather to dig into it for a little time, what Jesus is saying to us about the judgment, about the coming of the king, let's pray. Let's ask God to help us understand the meaning for us today. Holy God, you are the one true King, the King above all kings. And today, as we celebrate your kingdom, your reign, we also hear the serious words that you give to us about the judgment to come, about the things that you want us to do. So come, Holy Spirit, speak to us and help us understand your word and your rule today. Amen. Amen. So Christ the King Sunday. Now, you know, the kids and I, we were talking about what makes a good king. And indeed, Christ is patient, right? We read about how he forgave those on the cross that put him there, how he's loving, how he is humble, how he is forgiving, and how he's perfect. But at the end of the day, my friends, make no mistake, Christ is still the king. Amen. He's still in charge. He still has power. And as Jesus neared his time on earth, he spoke more and more about the tough things to his followers, to his disciples. And he told them, listen, a time is coming where I'm going to be crucified. There is going to be a death. But don't worry. There's hope. There's good news. And so he prepared them during his 3 years on earth to understand what he came to do. And so that's why in our church we have this liturgical calendar. You've noticed we changed the colors on the pyramids, right? It's white today for Christ the King, because our King is pure, perfect, holy. And it's also white for Christmas, his birth, right? Because again, our King is perfect. Purple is for royalty that we usually have during the season of Advent. And then, of course, you know, red, the coming of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost. So we do everything in the church around Jesus. He's the foundation. Because without Jesus, we have nothing. Without Jesus, we are lost. And so all that we do in the church, the liturgical calendar, is all about his teachings and his life and growth. The green is for growth. And the setting for the parable from Matthew that we heard today, it was in Jerusalem during his last week on earth, Holy Week as we know it. Jesus wants them to understand the way it works in the kingdom of heaven and the rules, because he knows, as I said, he's going to leave soon. And he knows that his work is finally culminating and coming to an end, but he also wants them to know about the judgment to come when he will come again. There comes a time, my friends, when things are too late, right? When it's too late to make amends, let alone already undo what has already been done. Have you ever tried squeezing toothpaste back into? Does it work? No, it does not work. Have you ever tried taking back something you've said that was hurtful, that was painful? I mean, you've apologized, right? But the wound, right? It's still there. And so it's an impossible task to undo what's already been done. And Jesus knows that when he comes again, that that's it. That there's going to be an accounting of what has been done. Jesus wants us to understand that there is that time. And in fact, if you think about the parables we've been reading, right? The parable of the oil, the lamp, the 10 maidens, right? The parable of the talents. When the master comes back and asks, what did you do with what I gave you? We've heard Jesus speak over and over again that there will be an accounting, a judgment of sorts. And while these things can be harsh, it can seem harsh, we need to understand that in his kingdom, there are non-negotiable rules that we have to follow. Because if we do things our way, if we continue to do things that make sense to us, guess what? You can't be in God's kingdom, because then it's our kingdom. And we already know what happens when we're in charge, right? We already know that our decisions, our way of looking things is not perfect. It is imperfect. And in fact, our sin has led to this broken and hurting world. And so that God's kingdom cannot be tainted. It cannot. There is no compromise in God's kingdom with the perfectness of it is. Jesus wants us to be ready to enter into his kingdom. And he wants to cover us with his righteousness, with his perfectness, so that we can be worthy, not on our own efforts, but through Jesus, to enter into kingdom. And the kingdom rules, my friends, as we heard today, is when we seek the best interests, when we seek what is best for one another. And Jesus, as he tells us about what the rules are in his kingdom, we heard them, right? I was hungry. You got to feed the hungry. You have to feed the thirsty. You have to take care of the homeless. You have to care for those in prison. And he says that because he wants us to see him in one another. Jesus showed us that ultimate love. This agape love, right? A couple weeks ago, we talked about this agape love that wants the best for others. Even if they have harmed us, even if they have wronged us, we don't have to be best friends, but we do have to show the love that Christ has shown to us. This is not a suggestion, my friends. This is a rule, a command of God's kingdom. Anything less is unacceptable. And I think I need to say that, reiterate that, because you know what happens too often is we dilute the word of Jesus. Because God loves us, we know he died for the forgiveness of our sins, right? We know that. And Jesus says that. But we use that sometimes, we hold on to that and say, well, whatever I do, it's okay, God will forgive me. It's okay if I do what I want to do now And I'll get to Jesus later. I'll get to church later. You know, I'll get to the things that he tells me later. But my friends, we need to truly understand that there will come a time when the late would be too much. It'll be too late. The reality is, for those of us who work hard to make things comfortable for ourselves, Jesus challenges us today. He challenges us to see the suffering of those around us, of our neighbors. He challenges us to move beyond of what seeks our best interest to what seeks the best interest of others, of our neighbors, of those we might not agree with. My friends, remember the Good Samaritan illustration? It helps us understand that our neighbors are the ones that we thought were our enemies. People who are different than us. People whom we might look down on. Jesus refers to the homeless, those imprisoned, those without resources, those who are sick and shut in, those whom we are quick to disregard. I remember a couple of my folks, they used to work in Manhattan in one of my churches, and they talked about how when they go into Manhattan, because when we talked about this mandate of Jesus, you know, it was so much easier to not see the homeless, avert their eyes when they walked from the subway to the work, but they were there. I was watching a movie the other day, and a woman had gone to help to the police because her daughter was missing. You know what? The police took one look at her and judged her guilty. Why? Because she was disheveled, because she didn't seem to have money. They called her a junkie and treated her as a criminal. And it turns out that she was innocent, and it was because one police officer took the time to listen to her story and look at her as a person and help her, as it was his responsibility. And as the story went on, it turns out that it was through a series of circumstances that the person had lost everything. Not out of choice, lost their job. They didn't want to lose their job. They lost their child. They lost so many things because of their lack of resources. It was a vicious cycle. How many times are assumptions made about the homeless because we think they don't want to work? Maybe we think they're junkies. The fact is, my friends, you and I, any one of us can be in that situation with the right or the wrong series of circumstances. Health issues, loss of job, loss of family support, disaster, catastrophe, any one of us could be in that situation. And so we need to see Christ in one another and care for one another. Jesus was known for spending time with the outcasts, those who were forgotten and shunned by society. He cared for them. And if we are to follow Christ, my friends, we need to do the same. Not while looking down on them, but seeing Christ in them. And unfortunately, a lot of times, too often, I hear folks, and I mean in the church, you know, make assumptions about other people because they don't know their situation. The fact is, my friends, and I'll say it again, you and I are only here by the grace of God. You and I are only here because of the support and love of our family and our friends. But for the wrong circumstances, we could be in that situation. So we need to have compassion and care. You know, when the crowds came to Jesus, he was moved with compassion. He was moved so much that he left heaven and he came to earth because he saw our need. We were like sheep running astray. We were lost. Have you ever felt lost because of the circumstance that you find yourself? You don't know where to turn to. You don't know where to find help because you know that humanly speaking, the help that you find in the earth is not going to last. But the good news today is God gives us help that will last for eternity through Christ. If we hold on to him as our King, there will be a just, a fair, a beautiful, a perfect world to come when Christ comes again. And we don't need to worry about judgment because we will already be following the rules of his kingdom so that we're prepared to enter into it at the right time. That oil that those maidens, those bridesmaids were supposed to have and five had and five didn't, that oil was not something they got on their own. It was the Holy Spirit, the power of God. You and I don't need to worry about trying to get the strength on our own until Christ comes. Seek the help of Christ our King. He has done all the work. He has made all things possible, but we just need to spend time to listen to His voice. How are you going to know the voice of your King if you don't spend time with Him? You won't. That's a fact, my friends. Coming to church, having your name on the membership rolls is not enough. Because you're not, we, not you, we are not listening to His voice. So we can't say, oh, I'll get to church, or I'll get to a devotion, or I'll get to the Bible study, or I'll get to serving when I have time. My friends, if we don't take the time now, we will not recognize the voice of our King. And we will follow all other voices and be led astray. The choice is ours. The choice is ours. We can't seek our comfort and focus on that. Because when we do that, the voice that tells us to focus on our comfort will lead us away from God. You know, Christ said, I came to give life abundance. He also said, those who follow me need to take up their cross and follow me. That means sacrifice. That means sacrifice of your time to serve and help others. That means sacrifice of giving your money, your talents, so that we can help others. We can pull it together and make a difference by caring for the needy. Because Jesus says, this is non-negotiable. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was homeless and you gave me room. I was shivering and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you stopped to visit. I was in prison and you came to me. Anytime we care for one another, it is like caring for Christ. My friends, those who hear and follow God's words will inherit the kingdom and will serve a King whose reign will never end. I pray that each one of us can live as a follower of that kingdom. My friends, the difference between those who follow Jesus and those who do not know Jesus is that those who know Jesus and heard His voice have no excuse to avoid the least of these, to avoid caring, to avoid giving sacrificially for those in need. We have no excuse. We've heard the words. And I pray that in this church that we not only hear the voice, but we follow the teachings of our Lord. Amen.